The question of Nicodemus, a good man and sincere, but as our Lord gently pointed out to him, pretty much limited to his vision of reality in terms of the things of this world. And of course, the question that he raised has been raised practically every year there ever since, and is still being under the form of womb theology. And the implication is, how can you be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, the same one as Nicodemus, crawl into your mother's womb? That's the only kind of conception and birth I know anything about. And our Lord's reply is, that's unfortunate, but you only know a little bit about reality. That there is, as it were, a genuine conception and birth in terms of the things of this world. That's the only way we know that someone can come into this world as a person, be procreated by his parents. That's the technical word, and it is an accurate word. This is the first thing we need to understand in listening to our Lord's explanation or answer to the question. There's a radical difference. The difference is greater than the similarities between the procreation of a human person. Indeed, the matter for his body comes from his parents, in a particular way from his mother. But that he is a person? No, he is from nothing. He was not a person until his mother conceived him in her womb. That is something that is unique. It's simply not another moment, but it's a moment in every other moment of my life and your lives. Indeed, we may say that conception scientifically cannot be identified at what moment it occurred. It is one of those things that is only known to the theologian who has been taught by God himself to recognize the dignity of the person, something permanent, which cannot be changed, even though, as it were, the body of this person undergoes many changes and dies. So that's the first thing. There is a radical difference between the birth of a beast who is not a person, made in the image and likeness of God, and the birth of a human person made in the image and the likeness of God. Excuse me. Secondly, it is not the most perfect form of birth. There is a birth from eternity on the part of the Son of God, not because he is made out of nothing at that moment, but simply from all eternity he was with the Father, equal to the Father. He proceeded from the Father. That is why he is equal to him. There was no time. There was no passing of duration. He always was that, and he always will be that. But now, and here we come, as it were, to the more perfect conception and birth, that of the virginal mother, who conceived, as it were not the divine person of Jesus, but of his human body, united, as it were, to the soul which was created for him at that same moment, and so entered our midst as one of us. But in such wise that as one of us he could save us. That's the second point. And thirdly, precisely because he was born of the Virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has made it possible for us to be reborn of water and the Spirit, or of Our Lady, our spiritual mother. That's called an adoptive sonship, but not adoptive in the sense that it is simply a legal judgment, changing, as it were, residence, or changing, as it were, obedience, etc. But as it were, a new form of life. Not natural in the sense that the Son is the natural Son of the Father, but by grace, that is adoption. But nonetheless, truly a new form of life. It just was not brought about by getting into a woman's womb, but by the action of that woman who is the Mother of God and Mother of the Church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, of water and the Holy Spirit. unless we are reborn again in that way, says our Lord, we will not be able to share in the blessings of his redemptive sacrifice. Let's meditate on these things, because they are definitions, they are points of reality, so important to the dignity of the human person and the great destiny that the Lord God has assigned for him. All this through the instrumentality of our Lord and his Holy Mother. How did he come to us? Through Our Lady's virginal conception, his virginal birth from her. And how are we brought, as it were, to be one with Jesus, his brothers and sisters? Precisely through the same mother, by the power of the Holy Spirit in baptism. And when we say that the church, as it were, is a mother of her members, that is, the church as an extension of the mystery of Our Lady, Mother of God and Mother of the Church, as the title of Lumen Gentium, Vatican II, Chapter 8, on the Virgin Mother Mary, and the mystery of Christ, the head, and the mystery of the Church, his body. And when you have grasped these very simple but profound truths, you're a very good theologian. Nicodemus was a cultured man, but he was not a very good theologian at that moment. Later he became one as a disciple of Jesus. So let us, as we continue during Easter season, to reflect on the stupendous work of our Lord and what it makes possible to us, yes, to be reborn of water and the Spirit, what is to be born in a more perfect fashion, one which is directly related to, assimilated to, the birth of Jesus in all eternity. And by reason of that baptism, we can say, even before we pass from this life to the next, we are already sharing in divine life. We are sharing in the love of the Father and the Son, a Son united by the Holy Spirit. Let us thank our Lord, especially when we receive him in Holy Communion, for these stupendous gifts of grace, and for the stupendous future that opens for us. All that we do is remain faithful to Jesus, keeping his commandments because we love him, and always looking forward with greater and greater expectation to that future happiness which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, but which in fact awaits us who are faithful to our Lord, who share by faith in that victory that he won over the prince of this world. Praise be Jesus and Mary.